Hello, developers, and welcome to the PHP Architect Community Corner, where we have conversations with members of the web development community. I'm your host, Scott Keckhorn, and today we're talking with Tessa Kressel about her upcoming keynote and dev relations. As CEO of Built for Devs, Tessa Kressel fast-tracks developer products from to developer favorites. With 10-plus years in DevRel leadership, she guides startups and enterprises in building developer programs that boost adoption and revenue. Thank you, Tessa, for finding some time to talk to us today.
Of course. I'm happy to be here.
So I just want to start out really quickly and kind of talk about what it is you do for your day job. So can you tell us a little about what DevRel is?
I absolutely can. I'm laughing a little bit because I actually was just talking to a friend the other day and my son was with, and she's like, what exactly do you do? And my son, he pops in and he goes, I don't even understand what she does. So it's a bit of a joke. And I like to tell people that I make friends with developers. And I realize that that sounds like super cool and amazing. And like, wait, what? Your job is to make friends with developers. But that's really like the essence of developer relations. So what I do in my day-to-day job, I was laid off from Snapchat in February of 2024, when we were seeing a lot of the other sort of ecosystem layoffs, especially in the augmented reality space, which was unfortunate. And that's the space that I was hanging out in. And so I decided that I wanted to take the DevRel skills and essentially experience that I had and turn that into an opportunity where I could help more than one company. And so essentially move from that full-time position into having a business and having an agency that essentially delivers DevRel services. So to kind of just, I won't go too deep into this because I don't want to overcomplicate things. But in my day-to-day, the things that I do is really essentially diving into that discovery of developer needs, right? What is it that your target developers need? Who are those target developers? What are those use cases that your product best serves? And then what do we need to know about those developers to understand the journey and the experience that they need with your product or sometimes services, as they're engaging? I would say, you know, from this more of the sort of niche or kind of focus, it's very much around self-serve developer products. And so just enabling those developers to be able to come in on a Saturday, do a coding session with your product, find some resolution, find that your product can be a solution for them. And hopefully they're the rock star on Monday morning at stand up and they can say, hey, look, I found this great new tool. Because if they do that, like most developers do, and the developer journey isn't what that developer expects, maybe we have to book a call, which none of us like to do, then they're not going to find that level of success. So I help companies ensure that that journey is just everything that they need so that developer doesn't leave and go find a competing product or a competing solution. And then sort of on the flip side, once we've got that journey in a beautiful place, then it's about empowering the developers, right? So developers, as you and I both know, when we love something, we tell each other about it. We're like, hey, you should check out this cool tool. And so the latter part or the second part of my services is about building programs that empower those developers to do just that, allowing them to have that space, that ecosystem, the opportunities to go out and actually talk about your product and engage with their peers in that way. So that's how I see DevRel, and that's how my services are rendered.
Yeah, and I think it's a really like a fascinating piece of our industry from a perspective that like we have I have this great idea for a product, right? And it's for developers, but like making people aware of that is really challenging, right? Especially since like there are competitors and how do you get out in front of those people? And so like I always look to like, you know, people who are in the DevRel space because they usually are like, those are like the companies that generally understand that they need somebody doing this. And they're going to be like better at like interfacing essentially with like the rest of the community. To me, like the DevRel space is like essentially like there's a bunch of people, right? And they're out there talking to the community that might use their product. And so like, how do people get into the DevRel space? Like, how is it that you go from being, you know, not a DevRel into a DevRel essentially?
That's a super great question. I fell into it, honestly. My first role that was like a DevRel role essentially was called an agency and community engineer, which was actually the role that I had the very first time that I came to PHP Tech. So I'm like a many year attendee with a bit of a gap, you know, post-COVID. But I essentially fell into it. But it happened because I had been teaching women to code in the Minneapolis area. And so the manager that I then was hired under, he actually lived in that area, and he was pretty well connected to other folks within the organization I was teaching in. And so someone had said, hey, I saw you had a role. Do you know that like Tessa's great at training developers? Maybe you should chat with her. And I'm like, I figured out that the role was a lot of training, a lot of public speaking, a lot of like content writing, but at its roots, it was helping developers, right? Like, what do they need to find success? You know, fulfilling and supplementing that developer journey and just making sure they had everything. And so I fell into it. But I think when you think about sort of DevRel and diving into that role, I think that, you know, getting into that can be something that, you know, process can vary, right? But, excuse me. But it really comes down to that desire to want to support and help other developers. So if you see that vision, you have that passion, you deeply care about that, then I think it's something for folks to consider. I do think that there's a bit of a caveat with DevRel, because as you know, in that first part of what I was explaining, right, just building that beautiful developer journey and that experience, it means you're talking to marketing about changing the messaging on the website. It means you're talking to customer success about the email nurtures that they're getting. It means you're talking to product about the features and the future roadmap and how that product is being orchestrated. You're talking to engineering, right? So that you can fundamentally understand some of the technical pieces under the hood and can feel compelled and be able to speak to that when you're actually talking to developers. So you really have to have this sort of essence and strong desire to deliver a beautiful experience to developers, because chasing down all those stakeholders and getting those teams to do things that are semi outside of their normal objectives can be quite difficult. So if you're at a Developer Plus company, which is essentially a company like, can't think of one, Bitly, right? Or like Rebrandly, you know, something like that, where it's like Link Shortener, but they have an API. Those are Developer Plus companies. And so in those types of companies, they don't see developers as the one and only audience, right? They're just a tertiary sort of secondary third audience. And so it can be very difficult to go to that type of a marketing team and say, hey, we have to change our website messaging so that it actually resonates with developers. I'm going to leave it at that, because there's so much I could talk about with DevRel, but I think it varies. And I think that passion has to be there. And then ideally, like, I think I've seen a lot of engineers in, you know, traditional engineering roles stepping up and contributing to an engineering blog or doing public speaking on behalf of the company. And I think that's a really great way to sort of like put your foot in the door and sort of test the waters with DevRel in that way as well.
Okay, awesome. Those are all great options for people to look at. I know there's also like a book somewhere somebody's written about like how to become a DevRel. I'll see if I can find that and put it in the description, but we'll be right back after this word from our sponsors. So did you know that downtime costs a small business $427 per minute on average, and up to $9,000 a minute for medium-sized businesses? And that's just every single minute. Honey Badger helps you avoid costly downtime and saves you money by combining error tracking, performance monitoring, uptime monitoring, and more into one easy-to-use platform, helping you fix outages faster than ever. Best of all, Honey Badger is free to get started, and setup takes as little as 5 minutes. Be sure to bookmark honeybadger.io. That's honeybadger.io. And we're back. So you're going to be one of the keynote speakers at PHP Tech 2025. Can you talk to us a little bit about the topic that you're going to be discussing?
Yes, I absolutely can. I'm very excited to keynote. I have been attending PHP Tech for a number of years. I think I've been there 3 or 4 years. So not all of the beautiful years that it has been in existence, but many of them. So I have this super strong desire, obviously, to bring developers together, which is why I'm in DevRel to begin with. We are noted as the antisocial humans, across sort of the globe and the world. And it's actually really false. It's just that we, as developers or technical people, we'd rather just hang with people who understand us, who get us, who want to talk shop, who want to talk about challenges or solutions or how we build. And so the essence of the talk is really about just driving that home. Like, don't let everything around us stereotype us in a way to say that we're antisocial and that we should be in isolation or that we should go to a conference and only hang out with ourselves. It's really about like just empowering folks to see that like you're at a conference, take advantage of that opportunity, get to know the developers around you, because that's truly like how we make and shape our careers, is by building and expanding those networks and having those group of people around us to be like, oh my gosh, I am stuck in this coding problem. Can you please come and help me? So I'm going to make people move around a little bit. I'm going to make people get to know each other a little bit. And really the essence is just to encourage that like full authenticity of just go out there, be your best self, be you, and get to know everyone that you possibly can at the conference and why that's so important.
Yeah, and I think the conference space is really like a very nurturing one for that kind of interaction. Like it's very much like just go talk to somebody, right? Like there's going to be hundreds of people there. You can talk to different people like every day. It's one of my favorite things. Like I try to sit at a different lunch table every day and just like chat with whoever's like at some random lunch table and then just like hear what they're seeing and what they're learning and what they're finding interesting. And it is like, that is like, a really like beneficial piece of this is just how open people are to talk to everybody at the conference.
Yes, exactly. And I think that a part of it too, right? Like we can often feel, gosh, what's the right word? Like I'm very extroverted, so I can't necessarily relate to sort of the introversion types. But at the same time, I have the same mentality where I'm like, okay, I just want to sit in a corner and get some work done and just do my thing. And it's so easy to do that at a conference if you don't know anybody. And essentially, like my goal for the conference is to never see someone being alone or not getting to know other people. So I fully agree. I mean, when we sit down and have those conversations with new people at lunch tables or wherever it might be, it leads to things. It leads to friendships. It leads to opportunities. It leads to growth. And I think it's just a huge missed opportunity to not take advantage of that.
Yeah, absolutely. So I think that like it's really like a nice like I'm gonna be interested to see how like you bundle all of this together in like in a talk. Because that is like I've been trying to go like, well, what like if somebody new was coming into a conference, like what would be the things that I would recommend them to do? And like that's one of them is like making contact with other people, right? Because like I've made, you know, hopefully long-term like friendships with some of the people that I run into at these conferences like over and over again, and even then like I'll see them like occasionally and it's really like nice to chat with them. So if like do you have suggestions for like maybe even not even new conference goers, but like how to get into conversations with other people or you know, even people that they've known before?
Yeah, well, one of the pieces I'm going to bring into the talk is the Pac-Man theory. Have you heard of the Pac-Man theory? Love it, right? So for anyone who hasn't heard, you know, the idea of Pac-Man, right? Like chomping, there's always something open because in order for Pac-Man to actually be eating the little cherries that it needs to eat, there has to be sort of this open sector. And so it's this idea, right, that when you're in a circle that you constantly leave that like open gap so that someone can just come in and it doesn't feel intimidating, it doesn't feel scary, that every conversation feels approachable, essentially. And so I want to teach that type of a theory, but I also, the one sort of silly thing that I do is I tell people how much I love dogs, which oddly enough, I'm turning into a cat person lately. So I might have to be like, show me pictures of your cats, but we'll see. But before I used to be like, hey, I love dogs. If you're shy or you just want to get to know me or you're not sure how to start a conversation, just come up, show me a picture of your dog and like, we will be best friends. So I think like there's little tips and tricks like that. And it's pets, kids, and food, oddly enough, are the three things that are proven in humans to just want to drive into a conversation, right? We care about our cats. We care about our kids, obviously. And man, do humans like to eat, right? So if any of those things sort of fall in the bucket, then there's just a great conversation there of like, let's talk about tacos or let's talk about your pets. And then I got some other little nuggets that I won't share because they're, you know, we'll come in into the talk with some power poses and some other type of empowerment things. But yeah. Yeah, I think, you know, those conversations are key. I think finding a buddy is also a really valuable tip too. And I know that can be hard if you don't know anyone. Very open to being anyone's buddy or multiple buddies for people who are there. But I think finding someone that you can sort of like navigate around with, or maybe you, like you said, sit with at lunch because that can be super intimidating. Or maybe it's after the conference and you're like, hey, let's all go grab dinner or let's go grab something before we come back for game night or before we come back for, you know, whatever activities. And I think it's important for folks to try to at least find someone that they like, you know, can connect with, because it really just makes things so much more comforting when you feel like you have sort of allies on your side.
Yeah. And I'll also like put that out there. Like if you are listening to this and you see me at the conference, I'll be a buddy as well. Like that sounds like an excellent suggestion to just be like a buddy to somebody.
Yes. So yeah.
Yeah. I think that like that's actually like that whole like food, kids and pets thing. I'd never heard that before. Yep. That's like a really fascinating like thing. So feel free to come up to me also with like food things. Cause I like food. I'm a food kind of person. I love eating food. So feel free to bring all those stuff over to me. Is there anything else that you'd like to direct our listeners to before we let you go for today?
I don't think that there's anything specific. I'm over at tessacreasel.com in terms of my website. I'm also on LinkedIn, if someone wants to track me down. But generally I'm more excited about getting to know people in person. So if you don't find me beforehand, that's A-okay. Definitely come up and chat with me at the event. If you won't be at the event, of course, reach out. But if you're not going to be at the event, you should probably like double think that, because it's a fabulous event and I would love to meet folks there. So those are my parting words. Come to PHP Tech and we can hang.
Awesome. Thank you for your time today.
Of course. Thank you for interviewing. This is great.
I have to say another heartfelt thank you to Tessa for her time and for you as well for listening. If you're not a subscriber, make sure you subscribe with whatever your preferred method is so you can get the episodes as soon as they're released. Maybe share this post with a coworker so they can know about the conference as well. This podcast is available both as an audio version on the PHP Architect website and as a video version on our YouTube channel. This is Scott Keck Warren for the PHP Architect Community Corner signing off and reminding you to keep listening, keep coding, and keep reading.